Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. I'm sure it's familiar to most of you. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want to talk this morning about what is the goal or goals of having and raising children, or what do we hope to accomplish. And I know me and Miss Stacy currently are the only adults, and of course the only ones with children, but that does not mean that the message is not applicable to Tom or Heather or Jordan, because all of you, Lord willing, will probably have children one day, and it's certainly best to formulate in your minds your goals for having and raising children before you have them, rather than after you have them. Because if you'll do that, then you can start off right and not try to change course, you know, in the middle or in the process of raising children. And again, not that that's always a bad thing. I know, and most of you probably know as well, that I had two children before Tammy and I began to go back to church and really start to grow in the Lord. And at least myself made huge changes in this area of my life. But fortunately, Elise and Heather were quite young at that time, and so maybe there was minimal amount of damage done. But I want to talk about this, and I guess I'm talking about it this morning, you know, because I have been back home the last two weekends, and more specifically this weekend, you know, we're with my family. We're with Tammy's family. You know, we have three or four different days where we get together with different ones, and so I'm able to watch everybody else's families and how they operate, how mom, dad, you know, what it appears their goals are in raising their children. And so this kind of was on my mind, and Tammy and I even talked about it a little bit on the way home. And so I thought, you know, this would be a good subject to address. And again, not just for me and Miss Stacy, but for all of us. Because I hope that Tom and Heather and Jordan already have some kind of idea as to what you want to accomplish if the Lord tarries and you marry and you have children. And that's the first question I put up here on our board. What is our goal or goals in raising children? I'm afraid there's a lot of people that have no goals. That is, they don't know what they want to accomplish in raising their children. There's many people that don't really know what they want to accomplish in their own life. They don't know what it is that they want to do. And for a Christian, that could lead to terrible consequences. I've said it enough. I hope all of you understand what our number one goal in life is as an individual and a ministry. It's to glorify God. That's our goal. And we can even say in a general sense, that's our goal in raising children. We want to glorify God. But again, people may define that differently, you know, if we don't define it scripturally, what it means to raise children to the glory of God. And so this is kind of the subject I want to talk about. Here in this text, Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a verse that is often misunderstood. Some people think that it means if a child grows up and becomes an adult and they go wayward, that because they were trained right, they'll come back to their roots. You know, for instance, some parents think, you know, they raised their child in church and then they became, you know, 20 years old and they got away from church and they got away from the Lord, and they grab a hold of this verse and think that because of what it says, their child is going to come back to the quote-unquote church someday, because in their mind they were trained correctly. But that's not what the verse says at all. It says if you train up a child in the way that he should go, when he's old, when he becomes an adult, he'll not depart from it. If a child is trained right, they will not depart from that training that they've received. In other words, they'll continue to behave or act in the manner in which they were trained. They'll not go astray, is the promise. The promise here is not that if they go astray, they'll come back. No, the promise is they'll not go astray if we, as parents, train our children correctly, if we train them properly. And I think, as we'll see this morning, it is the responsibility of a parent to train their child, to instruct their child. You know, parents oftentimes feel proud when their children do things that are right, when they're successful in some way. A parent gets proud. And I don't know that the word pride should be used even in that context. Maybe as a parent we should feel blessed of the Lord. Maybe we should be pleased with our children. But whenever you use the word pride, it conveys this idea that, you know, I had something to do with that child being like that. You know, that's why a parent gets proud. You know, when their children succeed at something, you know, they get filled with pride because, hey, that's their child, and they must have had something to do with the child turning out all right. But you'll notice a parent never does that when the child becomes delinquent, when they end up in jail. Most of the time the parent says, well, they were raised better than that. Well, obviously they weren't. And maybe the parent would say, well, I told them they shouldn't do that, you know, they shouldn't do that, and what would happen if they did? Well, they must not have been instructed properly. If they were, they wouldn't have became delinquent. Because again, if a child is trained upright, he'll not depart from the truth that he was trained upright in. And again, this would refer to each and every area of life. I mean, if I teach Heather properly how to tithe, you know, if from the time that she's little and gets money for the first time, we tell her, Heather, you need to take a tenth of that and give it to the Lord. And we do that consistently throughout her young life. When she becomes an adult, you know what? Most likely she is going to tithe because she's been trained in tithing. That doesn't mean she's going to consistently read her Bible, because if we've not trained her to do that, then she may not have been trained right, and therefore she may not read her Bible consistently, but she tithes. And so we have to train our children in every area of life: church membership, tithing, reading their Bible, all these things. And so again, just understand that the promise given here is that the child, when he turns into an adult, will not depart from the training that he or she has received. Goals. I think it's important that we have goals in our lives, especially in regards to raising our children. Because if we have no goals for our children, we will likely have no plan to accomplish those goals, and therefore we can't be certain how our children will turn out. You understand? If we have no goal, then we have no plan to accomplish that goal, then how are our children going to turn out? It doesn't mean that they're going to turn out bad. I think sometimes God shows grace. I mean, obviously I wasn't trained up as a young person to serve God faithfully in the local church, because my family didn't go to a local church, at least from the time I was 9 or 10 until me and Tammy went back to church. So, you know, I wasn't trained up right in that area, but God still got a hold of my life and turned it around for His glory. But there's no guarantee of that. There is a guarantee, though, if we'll train our child right, that they'll turn out right. What should be our main goal concerning raising our children? I kind of wrote down four different possibilities, four different answers that people may give to this question. But before I give you what they are, what do you guys think? What should be our main goal concerning the raising of our children? And even just instead of giving the right answer, what do you think some people would say? What do you think some people would say in regards to that question? What is our goal in raising children?
Just to keep them out of trouble.
Keep them out of trouble?
Let me write down here these four that I have, including just
the answers people would give you that may or may not be Christians.
Might heaven not be successful?
I kind of put those, what you guys both said, together, because this is probably the number one answer you would get from people in the world. They want them to be productive citizens in society. And again, by that, people mean that their child is not delinquent. They're not in trouble with the law. Instead, they're college educated. They are married successfully, and you know, they have stable jobs. To most people, that's their goal in raising children, to produce an adult who's productive to society, rather than a menace to society. And that's probably the number one answer you would get from people who aren't Christians. Any other ideas? Girls in the back? No answers? This one's kind of simplistic. But some people would say, I don't know. That's what Heather and Jordan say in the back there. I don't know. What is the goal? Some people would say that. Let me write this way, then I'll explain. And I'm only writing it this way because I can't fit the whole thing on there. None of my business. That's the way some parents act. Let me just kind of read to you what I have. They are their own selves, and they will be what they are going to be, and I should not try to make them into something that they don't want to be. That's the answer some parents would give. Like, my child is their own person, and they can do their own thing. You know, when they're a teenager even, parents will say, you know what, they're a mature person and they've got to make their own decisions in their lives and determine what they want to be and what they want to do. And there's only so much that I can do. And when a parent says that type of thing to me, it kind of means they're shirking their responsibilities as a parent. So again, these are some answers that I think we would get from lost people, or even some, and I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, some ignorant Christians. They just haven't studied the Bible enough to know. But from a believer's perspective, from a Bible-believing parent who's striving to serve the Lord, what do you think their goal would be in raising children?
Mine is for the kids to know Jesus and the Bible stories to get them started on knowing their Bible.
Yeah. You know, as I mentioned, you could put this very generically, glorify God. I mean, we want to raise godly children. And again, we need to define all this, and maybe we'll do some of that this morning. But we want to glorify God in raising our children, which means our children need to be godly children. They need... I know what I want out of my children is for them to grow up and to serve God faithfully throughout their entire life. As a parent, that's what I want for my children. I'm not really interested. I mean, I have some concern about their financial well-being, but only in the sense that it frees them up to serve God, because I know how financial burdens can hinder people sometimes from serving God. But I'm not so much interested in the financial well-being of my children as I am the spiritual well-being of my children. I mean, I'm somewhat interested that they be in good health. But again, only so much as that it allows them to serve God with a healthy body. I mean, I don't just feed my kids, you know, vegetables and things that aren't fried, you know, so that they don't have heart problems in the future. I really am not that interested in that type of thing. I'm more interested in the spiritual dangers that are lurking all around us. and try to teach them to stay clear of those things, because as a Christian, as a Bible-believing Christian, me, those are the things that are more damaging to a child, not fatty fried foods. So, again, I think that's at least my answer. Hopefully it would be your answer too, but let me just kind of share with you some things that I observed over the holidays, some things I thought about and talked to my wife about. And some of you know my family, know Tammy's family. Some of them come sometimes, so maybe I should not share some of this with you, but but just because I'm open with you doesn't mean you should share it in return to my family members. But when I look at Tammy and I's upbringings, they were very different. I mean, most people would have looked at my parents as, you know, productive citizens in society. My parents gave me and my brother and my sister a very stable environment. They stayed married, and they're still married. They worked very hard. My mom, at least through my young life, into my teen years, she stayed at home with me and my brother and sister. You know, we didn't go. We never went to daycare. You know, we never had to have somebody watch us when we got home from school. My mom was one of those ladies that watched other people's kids because their mom and dad were both out working. And so my parents created for us a very stable environment. They were very moral. You know, there was no drinking, there was no partying, there was no fighting that I ever remember in my home. And so a lot of people, and even I, when I look at that, I would come to the conclusion that, you know what, my parents are going to produce very godly, stable children. And then I look at my wife and her upbringing, and don't get me wrong, I love my mother-in-law, but, you know, most of you know she's been married a few times, and I'm not condemning that necessarily, though it's not right. But I'm just saying it doesn't make for a stable home environment. I mean, amongst Tammy's uncles and aunts and things that she was constantly around, there was a lot of drinking. There was a lot of immorality. And so I would look at that particular situation and think, you know what? Children in that home are unlikely to turn out, quote unquote, all right. But when I look at where the families are as of today, it's really just the opposite of what I would think it would have been. I mean, my brother's life is a mess. I mean, he didn't show up for the holidays, you know, because he's depressed or what have you, probably because of all the drugs and all the rebellion that's in his heart from his youth up. My sister, people may consider her a productive citizen of society, but, you know, her marriage is ended, and this creates different hardships on the children. But when I look at my wife and her siblings, including Dawn, who married a wonderful man, Aaron, her brother, who probably had the most potential to maybe be a problem, but he's not. He's married a good woman and has two children and has greatly matured. And even Marcia, the little one, she's trying to better herself. You know, her and Cody maybe aren't spiritual, maybe not godly, but you look at them and you say, well, they're productive citizens in society. And so I look at these things and it gets me thinking, because I would think that it would turn out a certain way, and it's just the opposite. And so I'm thinking to myself, why is that? Now, don't get me wrong, because I don't believe my parents nor Tammy's parents ever had as a goal for their children for them to serve God faithfully throughout all their lives. Okay, my parents didn't have that goal for me and my brother and my sister. Tammy's mother and father really didn't have that type of goal for their children either. Okay, but I'm looking at these things and I'm thinking, why is it in reverse? You had Tammy's parents I might consider spiritually cold. Mine, lukewarm. Neither one fervent in serving God. And the thought occurred to me, and I don't know how much to make out of this, but I think most of us realize in the book of the Revelation, you know, Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. And because the church of Laodicea were lukewarm, he wanted to spew them out of his mouth. It was something he couldn't stand, he couldn't tolerate. And maybe it is that one of the worst things for a child is to have spiritually lukewarm, Christian lukewarm parents. Because think about it. If you've got parents who are fervent in serving God, and they train up their children to do likewise, then those children are probably going to follow in their footsteps. And that's what I observe amongst Christian families. If you have someone who has parents who are just cold and apathetic and know nothing about the Bible, know nothing about God, I mean, those children aren't brought up in a good environment, but yet when they are confronted with the gospel, many times they embrace it and their lives change. Whereas if you have children raised up in a lukewarm home where parents aren't wholeheartedly serving God, they go to church, but they're inconsistent outside of church. They act one way in church and another way outside of church. The child sees that and is turned off by that and says, if this is Christianity, then so what? People are hypocrites. People are insincere. And so why should I follow in the footsteps of my parents? And it's just something to think about. Because if my observations are correct, then the last thing that we want to do is to be a lukewarm Christian. Because if we are, this has the potential to harm our children spiritually. What about, and again, this is another observation, just kind of sharing with you some thoughts I had before I get into my little outline here. In regards to raising children, do we focus on materialistic things, or are we Christ-centered? Some people say, I want the best for my children. I've heard people say that. What do they mean by that? That they want what is best for their children. I believe most parents do want what is best for their children, but I don't think parents know in and of themselves what is best for their children. For that, we've got to rely upon God. We've got to look to His Word as parents to determine what is best for our children. Because when some parents say, I want what is best for my children, they mean they want to give them all the wealth that this world has to offer. They exhibit love to their children by buying them things. But I don't know that this can always be considered love. I mean, Jesus said that a father wants to give to his child good things. I mean, if he asks for a fish, he doesn't give him a scorpion, you know. And a parent, because they love their children, they do want to give them things. But you can certainly take that too far. And that's obvious to me around the Christmas holiday. Because you watch, and some parents, because they do love their children, they want to give them all these things, but that is not always in their best interest. Because sometimes what it will do is breed a materialistic heart in the life of a child. And as Bible-believing parents, that ought not to be what we want to accomplish in the heart of our children. You know, my wife, she said on it, we were driving back, and she looked at the children. Of course, it's the holidays. We had a nice time together with our families, and children are singing there and back, and she just says, I love you, children. And I asked her, I said, what do you mean by that? And she says, I have a warm, fuzzy feeling for them. And that's something I've said to her before, and that's why she said that. And I said, children, I love you too, and so I'm going to preach to you tomorrow, and I'm going to go to work on Monday. And that is love. I mean, it's more than that. But that is love. We got to be careful about following those warm, fuzzy feelings in our hearts, because they may or may not be right. How can we accomplish our goal then? Our goal ought to be to glorify God in raising our children by raising them up to serve God faithfully their entire adult life. If this is our goal, and it should be, how can we accomplish our goal? You got to have a plan, right? You need to have a plan. If you have a plan, it's much more likely that you'll achieve your goal. You know, when I worked at Bell Industries, they had a very succinct, I forget what they called it, a performance and development plan. You know, yearly we got our evaluations. And I knew exactly from year to year what I was going to be evaluated upon. Next week I'm supposed to have my first evaluation, my first performance evaluation down at the clinic, because this is the first full year that I've been there. And so I'm going to have that next week, and I really don't know what to expect. And you know why? It's because they never put it out in front of me. I don't really couldn't even tell you specifically what my job functions are, because it was really never put out in front of me. You kind of learn as you go what your boss expects from you, but I don't know how she's going to judge my performance. I don't know what criteria it's going to be based upon. That was never the case at Bell Industries, because there was three sections to those performance evaluations, and I always knew what I was going to be graded on. You know, I ran a field service team, and so one of the important things and run that field service team was getting your work done in a timely manner. And from the time we opened a work order until we closed, it was all measured. And so we knew the average completion time of each work order. We sent out surveys to every customer, and those surveys were graded and put in a spreadsheet. And so we knew what our customer satisfaction score was from month to month. And I knew every year my boss was going to judge my performance based on those things. We were going to look at the financials of the technical maintenance department. Were we making money? I knew what was expected of me. There was a plan to obtain a goal, an objective, which was to make as much money as you could. And customer satisfaction and average completion time was all tied into that goal. But I knew what I was going to be judged on. There was a plan, and I loved it, because here's what I needed to achieve, and I went about achieving basically those four things. And I knew if I could do that, that my boss was going to say, good job, and he's going to give me more money. That's the way it works, right? So if you want to raise your children to glorify God, if you want to raise them to serve Him faithfully throughout all their lives, it's best to have a plan. How are you going to accomplish that goal? How are you going to bring it to pass? Anybody have any ideas before I give you my outline? I got four things here, and I could list a lot more, and you may list them differently, but this is just something I quickly came up with. I actually printed off a 30-page series of messages that I preached on training children. I figured I had taught on this subject at some point in the past, and so I found this document and printed it off, so there's definitely a lot more I could say than what I'm saying this morning. But how can we accomplish the goal of raising godly children? Anybody want to say anything before I start writing?
I have a surround them by godly people.
Let me put
church.
You
My thing too is, I don't know if it ties in with that, their minds, what they think about, how to train their thoughts, because sometimes they, you know, they're random and certain stuff just pops into your head, and it's trying to discipline the thought process.
You're talking about Jamie, aren't you?
They have to calm them down too. Well, Jordan gets all frustrated with school. Her brain differently, but they both have the same thing.
That's good. Those are good. And I'm sure they'll tie into the different ones I have here. Which, Miss Stacy, she mentioned the first one. Let me just say it this way. Teach. And I'm talking about teach them the Bible.
I'll never get through these, probably.
back where the bell rings, but turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, in verse 4. This Deuteronomy means second law, so here God is reiterating the law to the nation of Israel. And he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Notice he says, first, he says, you know, I'm the Lord. Verse number 4, you're to love me as the Lord, and my words, by the way, and you're to teach my words diligently unto thy children, when thou sittest, when thou walkest, when thou liest, when thou risest. You're to teach your children. You're to teach them the word of God. And I tell you what, if we want to raise children to serve God faithfully, we're going to have to read and study the Bible with them. In Proverbs chapter 1 through chapter 11, you find that phrase, "my son," over and over again. And what are those chapters teaching us? That a parent should be constantly instructing and teaching their children. You know, many Christians, when you bring up the subject of raising godly children, they will tell you that they are raising their children right. But when you follow up that question with another, how many of you are having consistent Bible devotions in the home? You'll find that very few Christians are doing that. And can a parent honestly say that they are raising their children in a godly manner if they are not having consistent family devotions? I don't think so. I mean, I think that's one of the primary responsibilities of every parent, is to teach their child the Word of God. Open it up and read it in your home consistently. In chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, it says something similar. Verse 6 says, "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." And why would the nation say that? Because God gave them His word. "For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" And then verse 9, where it brings in the children, "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons, and thy sons' sons." And then it says, "Specially," and then it talks about how, when God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Teach your children. That's a parent's responsibility, to teach their children. Let me kind of rush through this. This is the first, teach your children. Second is lead your children. One of the most familiar verses on this subject is Joshua 24:15, where he said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Which one was that? 24:15.
Notice his last phrase, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He made that choice for his family. Abraham was very similar in Genesis 18:19. God testified of him and said, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." God said, "I know Abraham. He's going to train, he's going to lead his children right." And as parents, we need to lead our children. Sorry, guys in the back, but you're not the boss. Mom and Dad is the boss. Mom and Dad says what goes. And we as parents have to lead our children. A child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. If you don't lead a child, they will most likely go the way of their flesh or the way of the world. Because it's against their nature to go in the spiritual direction. People, you have to work hard to be spiritual. You have to work hard to do right. You don't have to work hard to do what's wrong. You are the parent. So lead the child. You must mold your child into a godly child. You need to teach them to go to church and explain to them why God is worthy of our worship. You need to teach them to tithe and explain to them biblically why. You need to teach them to soul win and explain to them why. You need to teach them what is right and wrong. You need to teach them where they can go and where they cannot go. You need to teach them who they can fellowship with and who they can't. You need to teach them who they can marry and who they can't. And even as Miss Stacy said, you need to teach them how to think. We need to teach our children how to think. Because children just don't think right. And that's not a knock on children. We all love children. But they certainly don't think from an eternal perspective. I mean, a little child goes and he plays in the street. There's something wrong with his thinking. And you say, Johnny, what drives in the street? Cars. And if you're in the street, what might run you over? A car. But children don't think ahead. They think right now. And so it's a parent's job to mold that child into what they want them to be. And people let them call it brainwashing if they will. But everybody brainwashes children in one way or another, if you want to use that term. I just call it training. We need to train a child. And again, the word train, there's so much I need to say on this. The word train has to do with consistency, you know, over a period of time. Train. It's even more than just teach. But chasten. This is one all children love. Chasten your children. Some people think, though, that's all that's necessary. It's not all that's necessary, but it's very, very important. I mean, I'm not going to read the Proverbs that address this, but you can look at Proverbs 13:24, Proverbs 22:15, Proverbs 23:13 through 14, and Proverbs 29:15 through 17, and they all address this subject of chastening or disciplining your children. And I would just remind all of us that Jesus said, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth." Actually says that in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Hebrews. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so, because God loves us, he chastens us. Again, there's a lot that could be said about that. We want to teach our children that there are consequences for doing wrong.
That's discipline, right?
Right. And then lastly, and probably most importantly, but again, this is something you have to define because people mean different things by it. But you need to love your children. You need to love them. You need to love them enough to teach them the Bible. Okay, what we already talked about. You need to love them enough to lead your child, to mold them into what the Bible wants them to be. You need to love them enough to chasten them. But it also means you need to love your boys enough to play catch with them. You need to love your girls enough to play dollies with them. You need to love them enough to show interest in their interests. You need to love them enough to put them first. I know I was looking over the notes of my previous messages on this subject, and when you have children, you enter a 20-year commitment, if not longer. And being a parent is not a 9-to-5 job. It's 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It is a full-time job. And I'm afraid some parents don't give all of their energies, or at least the amount of energies that God wants them, to this task. I'm telling you, it's very important. We watch as so many children grow up and they just fall away from the Lord. And while parents don't take sole responsibility for that, they do take some. I mean, that child is responsible for his or her own actions, and they will give an account to God. But in a church, the church that particular child is in, they bear some of the responsibility. But parents probably bear the most responsibility other than the child itself. I think it's important that we train our children to serve God. Love your children. Love them, discipline them, lead them, and teach them. There, again, I like to be more specific with all these, but I don't really have the time. Again, just know, as a Bible-believing Christian, we want our children to glorify God with their lives. We want them to faithfully serve Him all the days of their life. Come up with a plan to accomplish that. And then be consistent in carrying out that plan. Because the last thing I want to do is see anybody in this church grow up and turn away from the Lord or stop serving God in any capacity. Any questions?